Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome to The Greatest, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to another episode of The Greatest. That's the end of the title with CJ Toledano and my wife, Megan Gailey.
Hi, everybody.
I've been corrected on that before, so.
No. You know what? You know that last week I made a promise here going forward. It's only going to be positive thoughts and not even constructive criticism anymore. Just love.
I'm going to bring our guest on because I do want to talk to him about this because he also has a wife who also does comedy and does projects with. Ladies and gentlemen, we are very, very happy to have on an old friend. He's a writer for Southside, Sherman Showcase.
Has his own Comedy Central special. The Hour. Yep. You will probably know him from Two Black Dudes and an Open Mic.
Yeah.
Bill.
Miles.
The kid. Ha.
What's up?
Will, how you doing, man?
Good. I see Megan and the Pacers. Nice job as a virtual fan, by the way.
Thank you so much. Oh, wow. Yeah, I got to tell. Here, well, let's talk to you and then I'll tell about my little virtual fan experience because it only ended like 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Still riding that high. Will is in his backyard at his beautiful home where I'm guessing
not
your daughter.
Not too far from us.
Huh?
Yeah. Not too far from us.
Your daughter is napping.
Yeah, she's napping inside, so I'm not here.
You're a new father. I wanted, we got to tell her.
3 weeks, Stella?
4 weeks.
4 weeks. Just hit the month's the mark.
Yeah.
Stella.
How does it feel?
It feels good. It's like, it's still weird because it's like, oh, I'm. You think every second you're like, I'm just me, regular me.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh shit, I'm a dad too. Isn't that funny?
Well, you're still you, but you have that tacked on responsibility, but you're going to be a father through the lens of Will Miles.
Exactly. That's so weird to think about. It's like, oh yeah, I knew I was going to be always be like a father, but I was always, you never expect that you're going to be like, you know, who you are and a father at the same time.
Yeah. You imagine there'll be some sort of like Freaky Friday situation and then you'll just be carrying the baby in a 3-piece suit and know how to do everything. And it's like, oh, nope, just got weed in the baby's hair. We came over to socially distant meet your daughter in your backyard and you were holding her so confidently. And CJ goes, how is he holding her like a football? Which is like, I was so sometimes you see dads and it's like, oh boy, they're holding it like it's a damn sack of flour. But you had Stella, you were doing moves with her. You had you had it down.
I had some practice. My nieces are 11 pretty soon.
Wow.
So when I would like sort of sneak to New York and be like gone for so long. Because I knew I could stay there if I babysat for my brother and his wife. So I was like, all right, well, here's the good reason to go to New York repeatedly. And so I had to be good at it in order to like sleep there and do comedy at night. So I was like, let me figure this out.
That is a good trade-off because those are skills that you picked up and that you are now using for your own children.
Yeah.
Your own child.
<It's> wild.
Now, does Stella have sporty gear? Does she have bowl stuff?
She has, does she have bull stuff? I think, I know she has basketball items.
Nice.
I believe you guys got us some as well.
I think I got you like
I love that.
I think I got you like practical stuff.
Yeah. Sadly. I feel like there was one. Like, you guys got practical, and then there was one or two.
Okay, yeah. CJ, he'll slip in some Kyrie SpongeBobs for kids, and yeah. I'm like, where did this come from?
My brother actually got my niece some what was it, like some Tiger Kyries. They were for children, and we were so excited to have her open those up, and she didn't care at all.
Oh, she's a kid.
Yeah, I already am looking at, like, goat baby sneakers.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So how are you going about that? Are you just gonna, you know, dress her up in all the type of gear, the fashion that you like,
yeah,
and then see absolutely. How she likes it?
Yeah, I'm hoping to influence her in some way with how she dresses. Trying to raise a little Lena Waithe, but we'll see.
You and Julia are pretty fashionable. I think it'll just rub off naturally.
I hope so. Yeah. That'd be great. Thank you also. But yeah.
Yeah,
but she gets to pick her own style whenever she wants.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Chicago basketball, I feel like the topic for anyone who didn't read the title is greatest Chicago sports moments.
Now, there may be people that read the title and said, nah, I don't want to be in this circle jerk of them just talking about
Chicago.
Yeah, because it's, if you are not in the comedy community, you may not know how annoying people from Chicago come across.
Oh, yeah.
And CJ and I are not from Chicago. We are comedically considered from Chicago, and people hate us, like the group of us. We're loud. Yeah. We're annoying. We show up late. We are funnier than most people, and we have bad attitudes, and we definitely take over a room.
Yes.
So sometimes, you know, there'll be some of us roll in and you'll see eyes roll, and they're right. Those people are right. If I was not part of the Chicago comedy scene, I would also hate our crew.
Yeah, same. Oh, yeah.
So it's like, oh, you guys are correct. We are annoying. But yes, Chicago sports fans, that is a whole nother level of obnoxious.
Yeah. Well, I just think to the comedy thing, it's hard because we all came up around the same time and all started doing well around the same time. So we were all like, we went from all being at open mics, being friends, which everybody at open mics who's friends is super annoying. But then, like, when you carry it over to, like, oh no, now we're all in Montreal, we're all on this Comedy Central set. It's like, well, we're still the same annoying open micers. We just all have now done things.
Yeah, we just have jobs.
We're scared and nervous, and we are gonna, you know, latch onto our friends we started out with.
Yeah, exactly. It just so happens they're still around. It's great.
Now. You love Chicago, though. You love where you're from. Some people don't love where they're from, but you really represent Chicago.
Yeah, I love it.
And you are from Boys Town, Lakeview. When you were growing up, would you guys say Lakeview or Boys Town?
We would say, I think Lakeview.
Okay.
Because I don't know how many people said Boys Town. I always thought it maybe was like a mean thing to say.
Oh, gotcha.
When I was a kid, I was like, oh, man, Boys Town. You can't call me from, like, Boys Town.
Yeah, but you were a boy, and you were from that town.
Exactly, yeah.
So Boys Town in Chicago is sort of like the gay neighborhood. Tons of gay bars. That's where Pride, everything goes through there. Very, very fun. It's in the overall Lakeview neighborhood, which then, like, butts up exactly next to Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
So it's the northeast corridor of Chicago, where Will is from, and born, raised. You're actually probably one of the least annoying Chicago sports fans I've ever encountered, though.
It's got to be Cubs fans, especially too.
Yes,
right?
100%.
Super annoying people in general.
Now, do you get like a chip on your shoulder because you're from like right by the stadium?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I love the Cubs, but I understand the full hatred for their fan base because, I mean, like, we were even saying because we're trying to, you know, figure out volume levels for raising our kids, our child, and I'm like, well, I grew up near Wrigley Field, so I don't know what that's like because people were drunk screaming my entire life outside of my bedroom window, so I have no, like, context for, like, oh, it should be quiet for a baby. It's like, well, I never was quiet for me. So I have no idea. And I'm like, maybe it's good to get used to, like, drunk assholes leaving some of the first night games ever in Wrigley Field.
like, I really do think that's part of why we, you know, have found success in comedy, is that most of the shows we were doing were just bars that had just got done watching a Cubs, Bulls, Blackhawks, Bears game. And now, surprise, a comedy show with a bunch of people who just started. And we were trying to convince them and yell over them.
And they're all wasted.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love the Cubs. But again, hatred of the fans. And a thing I noticed growing up was how many fans were not from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a lot
Illinois
of people.
Illinois at all.
Yeah, they're moving from Iowa or like, not probably Indiana because they've got their own.
There's tons of, we don't have a baseball team, so it's kind of split between the Cubs and the Reds.
Yeah.
But it's way more, I would say Indianapolis, if you were like going around and asking people, 80% Cubs fans.
Yeah,
But they have no knowledge of anything that's happening. They just want to get fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the team was different, which will go into one of my sports things. But like the teams and the fans were different when I was a kid, I'm almost certain.
Mm-hmm.
Than when I was an adult, when we were doing comedy, everybody was like pretty one note. I felt like, you know, like blonde and white.
Yeah.
You know, most fans. And I don't remember them being that way growing up.
Now, when Rookie of the Year came out, was I can't even imagine a movie being about me as a child.
Like, yeah.
What was that was like?
Huge. And I kind of remember when they were filming it, because it was it's so big. And, you know, that's the movie everybody at school at least watched it and tried to do the arm thing.
Yeah.
Like, we all thought we were going to break our arm and that was going to be amazing for our career as like a baseball player. But they also shot Babe down the street from me too.
Oh, wow.
Pig in the City?
Babe, the one with John Goodman.
Yeah, the Babe Ruth movie.
Oh, Babe Ruth.
The other Babe.
Yeah.
My bad. In my defense, Babe Pig movie is much more famous than the Babe Ruth movie.
Yes.
Wait, why did they shoot it in your hometown? He didn't play in Chicago, right? He played in
New York. I know. I never understood it.
But probably because Wrigley is the shittiest looking stadium.
Yeah,
people are going. I mean, the most historical looking stadium.
Yeah.
And so it looks like it's in the 19th century.
Exactly. They didn't have to change much. But I just remember somebody coming outside, or like our neighbor, who was one of my friends from elementary school, was like, yo, they're shooting Babe down the street. The dad from Roseanne is outside.
The dad from Roseanne has a name, and it's John Goodman. That's what you said to him. Was there ever a point that you were like, the White Sox are cool, though?
Nah. I mean, 05?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As an adult? But never as a kid. As a kid, it was always like, I can't even understand how you could like the White Sox.
That's so funny.
I don't know. That's ingrained in us so early. The sports team shit where you're like, oh, I guess I hate the other team.
Well, and then, I mean, the thing is, like, in the 90s, I didn't think there was any other basketball teams besides the Bulls.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And I didn't even live. I lived in Iowa for... when I was born in 87 in Iowa, lived there for 5 years, but it was just WGN. So that was the only team that was being played on there. But what was it like? This is why I always ask our friends who grew up in Chicago, what was it like being a Bulls fan in the 90s as a kid?
Amazing. And the 80s. Well, because like late 80s is when we started to get good.
Mm-hmm.
The 90s is when we were the best. And it is truly, you don't know how amazing your squad is until you realize that other people didn't grow up like that.
Yeah.
Like I had family in New York and they were Knicks fans and I'd be like, oh my God, you must be so miserable. We beat you every time. Like, this must suck. Your life must be terrible as a result of us constantly just fucking you over and winning championships. Yeah. I don't know. Sorry to the other fans.
No, Megan went silent. I'm
curious. I know. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just trying to practice something in my own life where when men are speaking, I like to just, you know, get a little quiet and listen to them. And maybe I can learn and maybe I can grow from the smart men around
Megan, me. We're nice people.
I'm listening to you. Ears open, eyes open, heart open. Let all of the masculine bulls dick sucking flow into me.
Easy.
Pacers were fun to watch play again.
Thank you. Yeah. No, it's fine. I honestly, as a kid who you grow up with your team not winning all the time, you start to understand adversity. And like, I played sports growing up and I would lose. And then it'd be like, oh, okay, Reggie's lost to, you know, like you kind of like learn how that. Once I didn't get a dollhouse, my mom got conned by a con man, and it's a long story. And I was supposed to get a dollhouse for my Christmas when I was four, and it didn't come. And my aunt was like, "Well, it's time she starts learning about disappointment in life." And like, that's harsh, but it's true. Like, growing up watching teams that lose, and it's not like these were terrible teams, but you do start to be like, "Oh yeah, I'm not going to win all the time. Everything isn't gonna go my way." I'm telling you that as a white woman from Indiana to a black man from Chicago. You're like, yeah, just let my team win. I've got enough shit going wrong for me, okay?
But yeah, no, the teams were all like, it must be such a different lesson back then, because the teams were so good. I mean, I guess the teams are really good now. We're watching a weird version of it, but everybody was like championship level back then. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But just to lose like the best player ever.
When you see, and not so much now, but like a few years ago, when you would see kids at Warriors games, it'd be like, fuck you, kid. You don't deserve that. You don't deserve, first of all, you're rich. Second of all, your parents suck. And third of all, like, you don't deserve to get to be in this building just watching this dominant team. You haven't earned it. But if I saw a little you at a Bulls game, I don't think I would think you suck.
I know, but probably.
No.
It was just a bunch of like winners gloating over and over again.
Well, that's, I wonder if there is like if there is a correlation with a lot of famous comedians are out of Chicago, especially in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Like, and then obviously our group that we talked about, do you think any of it, there's a correlation to winning sports teams?
Yeah, we tasted winning early on, mm-hmm. especially Chicago Stadium Bulls. That was the first three championships when we had access to the stadium. Mm-hmm. That a lot of like everybody lost access after when it moved to the United Center, because it seemed like a much richer place, and it was like a lot of we were really big by then, so everybody wanted to come to a Bulls mm-hmm. game. Those first three championship seasons, when you could still get tickets to a game, it was pretty incredible. Because it was like everybody in the whole city was seeing just winners. So no matter where you were, you're like, I guess I could win.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the Michael Jordan of my thing.
Winning creates like delusion, kind of.
Yeah,
and delusion is something that's actually quite important in what we do. But you have to have kind of like the right amount. If you have too much, oh boy. And if you have not enough, oh boy. You know, so like there is a sweet spot of delusion. And I'm happy that you growing up as a winner did not like overshoot your delusion.
Yeah. And you saw like the people who they either overshot it or undershot it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, you're going to peak in high school probably. Those kind of people.
Yeah.
Tough.
Like, you got to believe in your, delusion is such an important thing to think like, I'm going to make it at all. Mm-hmm. So stupid if you really think about it. But then you're like, what you do?
Now, when we decided, or you just, we wanted to pick a topic that was going to be not labor intensive research wise for you specifically, because you have a baby and we love you and we wanted you to do the podcast so badly that we kind of, you know, give you a little softball. But it also made me think of a topic that I'd like to do in the future, which is greatest sports city.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Ooh, yeah.
People have real strong opinions when it comes to the Bostons, the Phillies, the New Yorks, the Chicagos. Of course, LA wants to be in there. I'm sure places in Texas think they deserve to be in there. I feel like I'm from a great DC. Yeah, there's lots of, since we have you, and I'm putting you on the spot with this, do you feel like Chicago is the greatest sports city?
I mean, I want to say yes, just because in my lifetime, I've seen every team win a championship, which feels good. Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing since 2 years old. So I do think, in the past 37 years, we've been a hell of a sports city. We've won everything.
Well, and like we've all lived in New York and now in Los Angeles, in addition to Chicago, and you kind of see how the city reacts differently. Like, and I don't even, of course, New York and LA has lots of transplants. So when the Dodgers are in, it's not going to like be, but even in Chicago, when there's not Chicago teams in the finals or in the Super Bowl or in the World Series, the city shuts down. Like we would not have shows. It'd be like, oh, Wednesdays in June, CYSK is going to be canceled because there'll be the finals happening. Yep. And out here, it's like the Rams were in the Super Bowl and it was business as usual, like totally normal out here.
I said that to a Lyft driver as it was happening because I think I flew back from somewhere the day that the Rams were like around the time it was like Super Bowl was next week. And I was like, man, who's in the Super Bowl this year? And he was like, we are. And I was like, really? Like the shit. I don't see anything here.
Wow. Nothing.
I was like, damn, I'm not paying attention, I guess. And neither is the whole city.
No, I don't know. I mean, like, yeah, they left. They came back. You know, yeah. I think if you got into like the muddiness of, I mean, teams, it would be wild to me if a professional team left Chicago ever. That would be like, like that would be the last chapter of 2020 for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, that would make sense.
Oh, the Bulls are leaving? Okay, yeah that makes sense. It's 2020. Like, before we get to the topic, I do want to ask you this because this is the one bright thing of the last few months was The Last Dance. How did you feel about The Last Dance? What was your favorite part?
Favorite parts were just kind of everything. But I loved how, because Michael Jordan's such an asshole. And it was like, you could kind of see it, but also you got to see him explain why he was an asshole. So that was kind of cool for me to watch. Like, oh man, good, you are a dick. You will admit it. And you had like lied to make things happen. But it's like, I guess it worked. I don't know.
Yeah, it was just kind of fun seeing him be aware of that. Because it was always like speculation that he was an asshole. And you're like, oh no, he needed to be an asshole to be the best. And he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did Julia, your wife, watch The Last Dance as well?
Yeah, she was right there with me.
And what was her reaction like to it?
She obviously didn't care as much, but she was watching me be so excited that she was like, huh, that's weird. Because like and it was the thing that I'm sure every Chicago, like wife of somebody from Chicago or husband of somebody from Chicago experience, where it's like, I was there, or like, I remember that day. Like, yeah, because there were so many experiences in there where I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. Like I was there for a lot of the Chicago stadium stuff.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, yeah, even for you, Megan, it was like when we got to the Pacers stuff, you were like, oh, I remember that day. And you know, watching it on the
when they would show Market Square Arena, I was like, oh, I miss you.
Yeah.
You loud, dirty, giant piece of crap. I miss you so much.
It was great. I'm wondering if I might have gone to Market Square even back then.
Yeah,
I don't know.
3 hours down, see a little road Bulls game. That sounds fun as hell.
Yeah,
you could go eat at, I don't know, we probably had a Champs downtown or something then. I was going to say Cheesecake Factory. We didn't have Cheesecake Factory back then.
Is that new? Is Cheesecake Factory new?
I don't know, but I would love to like know where the original one is. That seems like a trip you and I will take.
Isn't it in California?
Point. I'm sure, yeah.
Well,
I think so, yeah. Because I think the owner is from out here.
Sounds about right.
Okay, so let's take a quick break and then we'll be back with our picks.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
And we're back. And as a reminder, we are doing Greatest Chicago Sports Moments with our guest here, Will Miles. Will, why don't you kick us off with your third pick? We'll go 3-1.
Third pick.
Yeah.
Third pick in Chicago sports history is actually all of them might be personal.
Sure. No, please.
Number three is when I saw Andre Dawson and Sean Dunstan in my barbershop.
Whoa.
What? That's not even a sports moment.
Yeah, we talked about this.
But when you said weirdly specific, I thought you meant like games you were at.
No.
Just, okay, all right.
Will, stay on the same path,
all right,
buddy.
So you're in, and by your barbershop, you don't work there. It's just where
you
go. Okay.
It's the one I go to. It's the one I went to, Terrell's barbershop, which was at the Sheridan Red Line stop.
Okay.
From Wrigley. And I just remember one day, like my brother had been going there for years because he's 6 years older. So it was his barbershop first. And then it was like, all right, I think I started going at like 3 or 4 years old.
Oh.
Like every black kid. And and then I just walked in one day and like Andre Dawson was in Terrell's chair. And I think Sean was like waiting or like, because my dad and I used to always call him Shawan because that's how it's spelled. But like he was waiting and I just remember being like, what the fuck? These are like absolute heroes.
Yeah.
They were two of the biggest like ever at the time. I couldn't, they were their biggest players I ever saw at the time ever. I was like, these are clearly like the basketball icons,
mm-hmm.
you know, before Sammy Sosa and everything at the time again.
Did their hair look good?
Well, the thing was Andre Dawson had a Jerry curl and I didn't understand why he was even there. I think he must've just been getting a lineup. But he was in the chair for like an hour just talking to him. And I got his autograph and I got Sean Dunstan's autograph.
That's what I was wondering. How do you approach them? Or
right.
Or were you like, yeah, is that a question you have when you're six, whether or not you should approach them?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I was like, I don't know how to like, I've only seen this guy on TV and I've only seen this guy on TV. Like, how do I even come up and say, hello, you're a baseball player?
Yeah.
Hey,
were you by yourself?
I think my mom was there.
Okay, but maybe she didn't know who they were.
She didn't really, like, only after, I think I was with my brother, and maybe we both got, like, really excited about them. And so she must have been like, well, that must be somebody. And they were in perfect shape, so it probably was.
She was like, wow, my sons really love hot men. It's interesting. We're always here and there's just kind of flabby men, but now there's these jacked men and they want autographs and photos. This is interesting.
That's got to be awesome. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine if I grew up in the city, the same city as some of my favorite athletes, it would be like, hey, we're getting on our bikes and we're going to go find their house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the fact that you were like polite, like, should I, like, you guys in a barbershop, I would have been like, what's up, man? Can I play on the Cubs? Like, that's the kind of little kid that I was.
Maybe you guys see Rookie of the Year?
Maybe it's for the best that you grew up in a town without any major sports teams. Like, that's actually what you needed to do. Okay, well, that's a great pick.
All right, thanks.
Really,
man.
Really personal. I love
that. Don't be mean to Will.
I'm not. CJ, come on. The thing is, I'm having a little fun. Can't I have a little fun?
Yes, you can have fun.
Okay, do you want to go or do you want me to
go? I'll go. Sorry. That was mean of me to just yell. My number three pick, it happened today.
Oh, shit.
They fired Jim Boylan.
You guys suck. Yeah. You guys are both bad at this.
This is
huge. This is crazy.
This is huge sports news, Chicago sports news. Jim Boylan, maybe the worst coach in sports history.
Yeah, and we've had some stinkers.
Yeah, there's been some stinkers since Phil Jackson and before Phil Jackson. I think, you know, and they got a new GM, and they were going to, I believe they were like, no, we have no plans on firing Jim Boylan. And that team, I mean, Megan, name one person on the Bulls.
I almost said Marco Rubio. But like, no, there's someone like Luol Deng.
Coach Thibodeau killed Luol Deng.
No. Yes, yeah. He
did.
Well, you know what? That brings up a great time when you also made a shitty pick. You said Coach Thibodeau was one of the greatest coaches of all time. You just said he killed Luol Deng.
I know. But he gave us some great moments. No, he was one of the best coaches, I said. Listen, I have wild picks on this.
Listen, Clark was on the episode, and Clark goes, no. No. Clark and I, it's like people still bring it up to me. They're like, is your husband okay? Like, are you okay? It seems like you love him, but I don't know if he's mentally fully there. Is this some sort of like make-a-wish thing that you guys are doing?
Those Bulls years were huge.
Okay, so Jim Boylan.
I loved when they were when that was going on. But yeah, when you realize how much he ruined those players' lives,
yeah, like,
maybe wasn't that great. But
no,
I know his job. But
so Jim Boylan is fired.
He's fired. They're looking for a coach.
You're happier today than of the three championships you...
How do you know those aren't my other picks?
Because there's like a lot of them. And you've run out. Now you only have two picks left.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I'm happy for all of Chicago.
I guess we'll move on to me, the only person taking this seriously. And the thing is, I had like a silly one and I was like, no, I'll put it in honorable mention.
This is our show. Like, do whatever you want.
Damn professional. Okay, no. So my number three is, this was my number one. I move it back to my number three, and it is the Blackhawks winning three Stanley Cup championships in 5 years. Yeah, that is like, if that happens in a city, you can make the case to be like, no, you get nothing else now. You know, you've eaten enough, no more. I was there. We were all there in 2010 for that one. I was still there in 2013. And then I was gone for 2015. But everyone says playoff hockey is the best. It's the absolute most like cutthroat, exciting, fun. We're obviously seeing some of that even now, these NHL games. Great job on their bubble too. And yeah, the Blackhawks, they were like a really fun team. And we knew comedians that were friends with them. And so you would sort of like feel tangentially close. I definitely like met one or two of them and you're like, oh my God. Like they were just really cool. And the city, the parade was so fun for them. Like it was kind of like everybody wants the Bulls to win. Everybody wants the Bears to win. And then the city is split. And it almost feels like the Blackhawks are sort of like the kid brother that everybody loves the most, but sometimes does get a little like lost in the shuffle of all the things going on. But when they do succeed, it's like, oh my God, we all love them. They're the best.
Yep.
And their games are so fun. And yeah, I just think for any organization to be able to win three championships in 5 years is extremely impressive.
It was like a dynasty.
Yeah.
And there was one of only two dynasties we've really had. I mean, they tried to call the Bears thing a dynasty, but
no.
Really just won championships. But yeah, like seeing that was amazing because the Blackhawks before that were just a fashion thing. Mm-hmm. Like I'm from Chicago. The logo's cool, even though it's mildly racist, but it's like, it's cool and I'm going to wear it regularly. And the, you know, it doesn't have any gang affiliations really. So that was why it was popular. And then when they won, you're like, well, yeah, of course I knew the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, I own a Blackhawks Christmas vacation jersey.
Clark Griswold sweater that he wore on our honeymoon because that's how CJ shows his love.
Love for sports teams, love for you and everything.
Clark Griswold, Cubs fan, right?
Yeah. Is he a Cubs fan? Yeah, he's like suburbs, so north suburbs. I'd say he's a Cubs fan.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase, though, racist old man.
I'm sure he's a Cubs fan then.
Like most
that demo still works. Bill Murray, we got you.
Yeah.
We found you. Okay, Will, give us your second pick.
Second pick. I'm going to go with the Cubs winning the World Series.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Megan's happy.
Good job.
Yeah. That was, and this is slightly personal, but it was
You could be personal.
No, I'd love to hear. Okay, so you were living in New York at the time.
Yeah, I was living in New York.
And just take us through, everybody know, like, it went to game seven.
So that first of all, that week I was in L.A. before that, and I was doing sets in L.A. I had never really been to L.A., so I was visiting, and I was doing a bunch of sets. And the Dodgers were playing the Cubs, and the last game of that series, I was out at a bar watching it, and I cheered so loud when the Cubs won and ran around the bar.
Oh.
And I forgot where I was. And then they were like, hey, you can't do that. And I was like, right. So when I went back to New York, it was also one of the like big first things I got, I think, was Comedy Central Comics to Watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it. And that night was the night of Comics to Watch was...
I was there with you.
Yeah, the last game of the World Series.
Yep.
And it was insane. And so I didn't watch anybody else that night. I went in to do my set. Then I immediately went back out to watch the game in the lobby.
Of Caroline's.
Yeah. And then the show ended and everybody was like, I'm supposed to meet and greet. And my manager was like, all right, great. We're meeting and greeting. And I was like, sure. But I am still watching the game. I do care that all these people want to meet or whatever, but I don't at the same time. And then it started raining. And then right as it ended and it started raining, everybody was like, ah. I was like, ah. And then the venue changed. We all went to an after party down the street. And as we're walking in to the venue, to the like second after party venue or whatever, the game starts back up. And so everybody has just seen me not pay attention to them at Caroline. So they're like, now they're rooting for me to root for the Cubs. So like the whole after party is everybody being like, well, I mean, I guess we're into the Cubs now. Because it was a World Series too, so everybody was into it. But they knew I was like dedicated Cubs fan next to the Wrigley Field and everything. So then they won, and like I ran around the block. Everybody was hugging me and cheering me like I won. And then I like FaceTimed my mom and introduced her to everybody at Comedy Central and everything. That night. I was like, look, Mom, we won. This is everybody. I FaceTimed my brother who was in Chicago at the time. And he was like running around in Wrigleyville because they shut the streets down and everything. And he was out there with them. And so I was just FaceTiming family, FaceTime my dad. It was nuts. All the same night that I was like supposed to be really happy about this other thing, but I was even more happy about this, the Cubs winning. So it was just a weird day. But
it sounds like a great day. Yeah, I mean, and now you have a wonderful career. So it'll I just like love the image of like industry people being like, what's going on? He's from Wrigleyville and the Cubs are there.
Like, and it was a tiny TV like behind the bar. And like half of us were out there watching in the lobby and the people in the show, and it's just like there's a way. I mean, not to speak ill of any of the comics on it, but the game was more interesting.
Why were you at Comics to Watch?
I was just watching Friends.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember why you were there.
You were there with, wasn't Tommy there too? You guys were both there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because I remember I needed the Chicago people around. Oh, yeah.
What
I know
are you're saying good. Sure about?
No, I know I should do that. But,
I thought Will was trying to cover for me.
I was, but
yeah. Oh yeah, wasn't Tommy there? Don't try to bring sweet Tommy Mac into this.
No, Tommy was there.
Yeah, I support Tommy.
You don't
Tommy.
Need to drag him down.
I support Tommy watching other comics.
Yeah,
of course. Great. I mean, I'm glad Will had a good set, and that the Cubs won, and then fuck everybody else. You know what I mean?
Yep, exactly. All right, my number two pick. I was gonna say DaBears. I think the DaBears SNL sketch 91. I think it's a cultural phenomenon. It's the true, like in my field of trying to figure out the overlap between pop culture and sports, DaBears is like the dream. To say you came up with DaBears on SNL, and we still see DaBears commercials to this day. And I think it might be the height of professional sports comedy out there. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Ditka's had a tough few weeks. So.
Wait, what happened? I don't even think I know.
I don't think he's down with the movement, if you know what I mean.
Yikes.
He's an anti-masker, I believe.
Yeah, he's not.
No.
Someone did one. I can't. An athlete told me a story once of golfing with him, and it was it was Ditka's course in some way. Like, I don't know if he owns the course or if he's like part of a course. And Ditka just peed on the green. Just like,
oh my God.
Whipped out his dick and peed on the green. It didn't even go to the woods. Okay, so your pick is not the Bears team, but Da Bears sketch.
Da Bears sketch.
I feel like
it's
I'm
so
in
so crazy is how it like it did really reach everybody.
It's not even that funny.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? It just is like iconic. It's iconic. It just like captured a time in sports and pop culture. And yeah, again, the Bears haven't been good for a minute, and we're still seeing Da Bears commercials on TV.
Yeah. They've almost never really been that good since like 1985.
Well, yeah, I mean the Super Bowl.
05, I guess they were pretty good. The Rex.
Yeah.
But Rex was awful. And he blew it.
That's Megan's. Megan lived in Rex's apartment.
Oh, God. Wow.
Not with him. He had vacated it. but he left a bunch of stuff. He left a knee brace. He left some like kind of gaudy shirt. You know those shirts that have like different, like the when you roll the cuff up, it's like a different pattern.
Ew.
He left some of those. He left some shoes. Like he did leave some weird things behind. And Robbie Gold had been living there, and I think he left something behind too. Robbie Gold. Okay, so that brings me to my second pick, which is when the Bears won the Super Bowl. So the 85 Bears, the Super Bowl shuffle. Then they won the Super Bowl actually in 86. That the NFL like schedule confuses me all the time, just because it like the Super Bowl is always in the next year, and I don't know why my brain just like can't handle it.
Yeah.
So it was the 85 Bears. My mom was pregnant with me at that time.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was breached. So like my feet were coming out. We're going to come out first. And I was due in like 2 weeks. And so she had done all this stuff to try and flip me back over and just like couldn't do it. And she was pissed, of course. I mean, or annoyed because you can't come out feet first. It's not a water slide. And so
vagina isn't a water slide.
I think she had just sort of like, I don't know, maybe given up. And then she said during the 85 Super Bowl, I flipped back over.
Wow.
What do you think that means?
I always thought it meant like I was watching the game and I was like, I love this, man. I'm gonna do a somersault.
You didn't like the Bears.
No. I think I was doing an audition for the Jesse White Tumblers.
Yeah.
In utero, you know? I said, check that out. Look at what I can do.
Yeah. That was like you were inspired by Walter Payton or something. I don't know.
But people cling to those 85 Bears. I'm a huge PTI fan, and like Wilbon brings it up once a week. It really is, and I understand that I do that with, and it's sort of, it's tough too, because that was the last time. So I think that's why it's like so burned in everyone's memories. And Bears fans had that delusion that we were kind of talking about where, you know, it's not as bad as Browns fans, but Bears fans I think Chicago fans are the hardest on the Bears. I really do, because they'll be like, we're going to this. No, you know, squad's looking good. And then after like one Mitch Trubisky fuck up, they're like, get him out of here. Yeah. And it's like, obviously it was a bad pick, but it's not Mitch's fault. You know, like he wants to be good too. He would love to be as good as Patrick Mahomes. He's trying. But I remember when they gave Cutler that deal where they were like, we're hoping we'll pay him this huge amount of money and he'll play up to it. It's like, that's not ever how anyone has done a contract. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
What is that? Incentives, right?
Yeah. Well, but they were just like, he hadn't been that good. And then they overpaid him, being like, now he'll be good. And it's like, no, you can't will someone into being better as a quarterback. And yeah, the quarterback position has always kind of plagued them. And I guess when I hear people complain about the Bears not having won one, and now what is it, 35 years? It's like you guys have had so much that like this is actually the team that is going to have a drought, and that's like what you guys do deserve.
Damn.
Well, sorry.
You're right. We are the worst fans for Bears, though. I think that is a lot to do with it, because we made Cutler cry. Basically, we made Eric Kramer cry. We made Rex cry.
Kyle Orton was like, get me out of here.
Yeah.
Y'all broke in cement.
Yeah, Matt Forte. We broke so many people who were like had the talent that all they needed was a push. And if like they had any push at all from the fan base to be like, all right, that was just one bad thing. Keep going. But we never gave anybody that sort of thing. It's like, oh, that was one bad thing. I hate you now. Here's some memes about how lazy you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, here's you eating a hot dog on the sideline. And it's like, he's a diabetic. He needs a hot dog. Just let him have it.
I mean, who's starting for the Bears this year? Foles
No. Oh, Trubisky. I don't know. I think they said it's going to be a competition.
Set up more competition.
They don't have a new coach. They would have been a great Hard Knocks team.
Yeah, yeah.
Because now we're getting two teams, and I honestly think they picked it for production reasons because, like, it's out here in L.A. and it's easier with COVID. But I do think the Bears would have been a really interesting team. They're kind of like secretive and old school. You know, they got no cheerleaders. They're one of the original, and they just really seem to like cling to that history and the McCaskey.
McCaskey's. Yeah. They're awful people.
No, I didn't know.
No, I mean, just in terms of they just haven't done really well with having a team.
Yeah.
They're not like Dolan status yet, but they're like, you know, they've been fucking up for that long. That it's like, eh.
All right. Well, let's take a break and then we'll be back with our number one picks.
Ooh.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
L-A-S-I-K. LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
All right, and we are back with our number one picks, Will. If you're not familiar, this is what we do. Megan and I will choose first, and you'll be our grand finale.
Okay, cool.
All right, Megan, do you want to go?
Yeah, so my honorable mention is the Bears getting to lose to the Colts in the Super Bowl.
Oh, God.
I think that is... Let me frame it this way. The Bears making it to the Super Bowl. Lovie Smith, Tony Dungy was the first time a black head coach had made it to the Super Bowl. And then we had two facing each other. Devin Hester returns the kickoff for a touchdown.
That was one of mine.
And then, you know, nothing went right after that. And that's fine. That's what y'all deserve. But it was,
that was awesome though. You were worried, that obviously. Was.
No, you know what? I was actually watching it in Chicago. We were at Mullins, which 99% of the year is a Colts bar. But when the Bears are in the Super Bowl, it's a Bears bar, which we did not know. And they were so, the place like erupted and we were a table of maybe like eight Colts fans. And you just have to be like, it's okay. It's okay. Nope. That's it. You know what? He was going to get one. He was going to get one. And now it's out of the way and it's pouring rain and it's in Miami. And what, like, it ended up being a running showdown where Dominic Rhodes was actually the MVP, which is insane. But they gave it to Peyton, of course, which I hope Peyton gave Dominic Rhodes his like Silverado he won. Because he really, truly deserved it. But yeah, of course I was scared. And then, which led me to over drinking. So I actually don't really remember the end of the game, but I was extremely happy and I did get thrown out of the bar. But I do think it's really nice that the Bears got to lose to the Colts in the Super Bowl. Okay. So it felt good for you too.
Well, we didn't deserve it that year. I mean,
really?
Your defense was great.
Defense was amazing. I love Peanut, but like, who's now an FBI agent?
Yeah.
And, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, you guys had it. It was one of those where it was like, yeah, of course they're going to win. I don't know. Maybe that's just like a defeatist attitude, but I really felt like at the time I was like, yeah, of course they're going to win. We're not built for this really.
Well, yeah. Thank you. You didn't even know me yet, but I appreciate it.
It was weird. That Super Bowl was actually the first time I was in Chicago, or no, not the first time, but I was visiting there to see if I was going to move there.
Oh, wow.
So then that's my only honorable mention I have. And then my number one, I guess it's a tie. It was just going to be the Cubs winning the World Series, but you said that. And I feel so bad for the White Sox. They also won the World Series in 2005. Yeah. Ozzie Guillen famously told me that if I wanted to be famous in this country, I should kill a person. I mean, they're fun. That's a fun. Remember, he threw Jay Mariotti. He wasn't allowed to come into like the clubhouse. He couldn't be at any press conferences. Brzezinski was crazy. Tomey was the. I mean, that was like a really, really, really fun team, and I just feel like they get so overshadowed and they also deserve, you know, their day in the sun, and their fans are equally ravenous and definitely like much more of a chip on their shoulder. Cause they feel like the second team, like the passenger team to the Cubs, but they won and they won like before the Cubs won. And I loved that team. And I thought it was like kind of shitty how Chicago won a World Series and more than half of the city was like poo-pooing it and acting like they didn't win a World Series.
Oh, really? See, my roommate who you guys met and know, I think even my old roommate, Adam, he's a White Sox fan because he's from the South Side, from right around there. So I was, and my boy Steve, who you also know, we were all watching that game and that whole series, that whole year we were watching the White Sox. So I became a huge fan of the White Sox that year. And Brzezinski seemed like a dude who might call him the N-word, but I loved him at the same time. Because when he fought that dude, that fight was so dope that I was like, you know what? I just don't want to know if he says the N-word. Like, that's where you're like, just never ask him if he's ever said it, because I love that guy right now.
Yeah, don't send Pierzynski on Z-Way's show.
Please.
And they swept, too. Like, it was like a definitive, like, we are whooping your ass from the south side of Chicago.
Yeah. They're better fans. The Sox fans are better fans. I'll give them that.
Damn. All right. My number one pick, I'm going to go with, because I also don't want to take any from you, Will, just in case, but I'm going to go with Jordan's I'm Back. Him coming back, 95, coming back to the Bulls. It's just, again, you know, and it took The Last Dance for me to, again, put him back in the GOAT, the true greatest of all time. And it just the fact that you can win three, leave, and I don't count them losing in the playoffs in his first year coming back. You know, it's just like the dude's been playing a completely different sport, you know, thinking he was never going to come back. And then he's like, hey, I'll go back. And then, winning three in a row. I don't think we'll ever see anything like that. And, you know, I think especially with Jordan, I know people are like, Bill Russell has 11, but like them winning six in the 90s in that era with the Malones, the Ewings, the Reggie Miller, like
Barkley,
Akeem, that was impressive. Six in that era is insane to me. So, and it all because Jordan came back, and that was like one sports wise, that was the biggest story of my life as a kid growing up.
And I mean, that the whole LeBron Jordan argument that I'm sure you got into with Clark on here is it is like LeBron doesn't have what Jordan has, because that's why Jordan's a GOAT, but it's for the best, man. Mm-hmm. He's such a better person.
Yeah, we said that.
Like, I don't want him to have whatever it is that made Jordan be like, I took that personally about everything, that and made up shit too.
Yeah.
Like, personally, and they're like, that never even happened. Like, yeah. I don't want LeBron to be that guy. LeBron just bought out Dodger Stadium so we could vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I'd rather that guy.
No, but it's like, yeah, people are like, no, but he did that. Well, he didn't win the finals, you know, nine times in a row. That's how crazy sports fans are.
But I do think that whatever team wins the championship this year, it's going to be extremely, extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. And if that ends up being LeBron, I really do think you have to give him an edge because he basically made this bubble happen. Like single-handedly, it feels like in some ways. He's down here. Oh, what is happening? Are you being chased by a bug?
Yeah, there's like a bug, a giant bug.
Oh my God. I thought there was a ghost we couldn't see, you know? Like, this is how you go out. I think if LeBron is able to win the championship bubble on top of having a championship with the Cavs and then two with the Heat, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's three, like, right?
No, two with the Heat.
Then it's like he's got, that's three different teams, but the third team is within this really insane situation that so few people could do well at. I mean, and you see him struggling. He actually is, and you see people like TJ Warren, Dame, that are able to like elevate that you definitely are like, oh, these circumstances are they're affecting people differently.
Yeah.
And I mean, these playoffs are going to be so fun and I'm so happy we have it. But if he is able to pull this off, I think he's the GOAT. Oh my God.
Oh my God. I saw that bug.
Oh my God.
Will.
Huge bug, right?
A giant bug is chasing Will right now. Will just ran down the stairs.
Oh my God.
Will, be careful. Don't.
That was wild,
oh
right?
Oh my God.
That bug is a Kobe fan and is like, how dare you? Dare you?
Kobe not in the conversation. Yeah, sorry, man. He's in there too.
We like Kobe, bug.
Are
we
you
love
okay?
Kobe.
Are you okay?
Him.
Yeah, I'm okay. No, that was wild.
Because our screen also froze for a second. So I'm like, oh no, what happened? We are so sorry, listeners. We just needed to make sure our guest Will was okay.
But
what was that? A firefly?
I think it was a June bug or something. What are they called? I don't know. It was like, I thought that was a...
It's when you can like hear coming.
Yeah.
It looked like a bird, to be honest.
Yeah, it was gigantic.
Well, and it's so hot out and you're up in the shade. It's probably like, oh, this is nice up here. The bug's like, oh, wow. And he's the sports bug in my... in my crew.
What I do. I like LeBron.
All right. We didn't mean to laugh at your chaos totally over there. Well, why don't you close this out? What is your number one pick for greatest sports moment or Chicago sports moment?
For sure. Honorable mention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jordan kissing the floor at last game at Chicago Stadium.
Yeah.
It was a program game, I believe.
Yeah, it was like a prime or like a charity. Was it Pippen's?
It was a charity. Pippen's charity. Yeah, it was Pippen's charity game. And my dad got us tickets.
Went. Awesome.
So seeing that was pretty incredible. And then the number one is, second honorable mention.
Yeah, no, as many as you want.
As many as you want.
All right, great. Second honorable mention, greatest sports year probably of my life is 90. It ended in 98.
Mm-hmm.
The championship. The Bulls championship in 98.
Mm-hmm.
We won that, which was our final championship. The whole thing, the whole last dance, basically, that was that year. That was also my freshman year of high school. And we won state championship for that as well.
Wow.
So I was just like, oh man, basketball. I'm just around the best in basketball at all.
Were you on the team?
No, not at all.
Just excited. Just excited.
I tried out. We like everyone at school tried out because Quinn Richardson was our star. So like,
oh, wow.
Before the year before, they were on the news all the time.
Yeah.
Because we won city, but we didn't win state. And then everybody was like, oh, Hugh Rich is going to win state this year. He's got to win state. He's got to beat Corey Maggette or whatever. But and then then freshman year, everybody was like, well, shit, if this is the biggest team in the country right now or city, at least they were like, we got to play for the squad. So the tryouts were like beyond belief. Everybody at the school basically tried out for the team.
Oh, my God.
And nobody got it, but like a few people got it. This kid Najib was like really good. He got varsity freshman year.
Wow.
But yeah. It was like, it was huge. And so when we won that, it was huge. And then a couple months later, the Bulls won. It was like, basketball's the greatest thing ever. I'll never not watch it. I can't believe I'm only watching winners. That's honorable mention. Biggest was when I graduated eighth grade and we had our party. and it was the night of our graduation party at Lenny Jones' house. Was also the night we won the fifth championship. And so it was like the house, I think, was either on the south side or downtown. I don't know where the party was, but it was near where people were riding. So like we won, everybody in the, like no parents were there. So we all started like, I think there was smoking going on. I think there might've been drinking. I don't know.
Wow.
But then like everybody went outside and like we were just around people looting. And we were like, this is the greatest day of all. Like people were flipping cars outside. We're like, this is so awesome.
And you were just like unsupervised eighth graders. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you get to make out with anybody?
I don't think so. I think what? I watched them make out pretty close. Yeah, I think late.
I never think when my team wins to go make out with somebody.
No, I meant just because it's like eighth grade graduation. That seems like a make out night. And then the game happens.
Yeah. It should have been a make out night. I was not as cool as I am now, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, you got a woman pregnant.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. But yeah.
That was a big deal.
Did you loot at all? Did you flip anything? You kick mailboxes?
I might have, like, me and my buddies might have tried to kick some shit because we're like, you know, we're trying to be tough eighth graders. But yeah, it was like, it was pretty amazing. Because it was the first time you could really, like, you know, kids weren't really allowed to leave the house when the Bulls won because of all the looting. But it was like, right. You feel like you're growing up because you're going into high school in a couple months. And you're like, I'm a man now.
Let me all be your looting.
Bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs. Yeah. Like, they're supposed to be adults. All the Jewish kids, they were just told they're men. So I guess I'm a man now too. So it was like, yeah, it was huge. It was like growing up. It was like, oh yeah, now I'm out with the looters. I'm out.
Man, yeah.
A coming of age looting story.
Yeah.
I'm flipping. If the Lakers win, even though I've been a fan of them for 2 years, I'm going to go flip a car.
CJ,
and make out my wife.
He goes, turn off the, I had myself muted on the virtual fan. And so CJ was like, turn on your mic. And so I turn on my mic and then he goes, go Lakers. I go, no. Get this. I'm going to get kicked out of the damn Pacers virtual fan because my husband's a hater.
That's the joy. That's what sports has become. Us yelling heckles into our laptop. we were doing it on Twitter.
We're going to virtually flip a car.
Yeah. I'm going to PayPal somebody to go flip their car. And then they have to say, go Lakers.
I'm going to burn all my masks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to burn all my masks.
No.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to take the ashes and I'm going to make a new mask.
God. All right. Well, Will, thank you so much for spending an hour with us talking about Chicago stuff.
Yeah.
Stay safe, stay healthy.
Anything we can plug to send our listeners your way?
Oh, at Mr. Will Miles on everything. At Mr. Will Miles. And I'm supposed to have a website soon. I haven't had a website.
Ever?
I had one earlier, and then somebody was like, hey, your website says you were voted one of the Brooklyn comedies people to watch.
Yeah.
Brooklyn Magazine comics to watch. And I was like, they were like, is that your biggest credit? I was like, I should delete that website.
Well, you don't have to delete it. You can just update it, Will.
I know. But I was like, that's done.
Yeah, said, let's just start from scratch.
Yeah.
You looted your own damn website.
All right. Well, check out Will on all that stuff. Check out the shows he writes for Southside, Sherman Show.
Southside is coming to HBO Max.
Yep.
Yeah. Southside is HBO Max.
Congrats. That's awesome.
Sherman Showcase will be on AMC. There's another one. Grownish.
Oh, Grownish, yes.
Comes back in 2021. I wrote episode, I think, 7 when it comes back or something.
Awesome.
Hell yeah.
I don't know, some other shit. All that. Yeah.
And Megan?
You can find me at Better Megan Gailey on Instagram, Megan Gailey on Twitter. And I have started the Megan Gailey Bubble Machine, which is my show that's covering all things sports in the bubble. I know I didn't get a chance to talk about my virtual fan experience on here. We were just having so much fun talking shit.
Tell them to watch the show.
That's what I'm doing. You think I'm just mentioning it? Don't watch Megan Gailey Bubble Machine. Do not watch it.
I think you're just apologizing for not talking about it.
No, I'm saying I'm gonna talk about it on the show. Oh my God. Now I know how you feel. Now I know how you feel. No, wow. So Yeah, I'm. Please watch it and be safe and wear a mask and be cute.
And I'm at CJ Toledano, and I do stupid things.
Okay, and thank you, Kerr, and thank you, Sean, too.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sean.
Shout out to you guys.
And Will, thanks so much for being here, and thanks to Kamala, I guess.
Right. Can I give a? I want to shout out Steve Kerr, too. I really like
him. All right, Steve Kerr.
Yeah, way to go, Steve.
We know you're listening from Will Miles. All right, that's been our show. We'll see you next week.
The Greatest is a production of iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.